This is the Angles of Latitude podcast, session number 16. Today's guest is Allie McAdam of AllieMcAdam.com.
This is Squadron Leader confirming hostiles inbound. Prepare for battle.
What you're about to hear is the integration of life.
Clarity is power.
If you live each day as if it was your last, someday you'll most certainly be right.
Liberty.
We choose to go to the moon.
It's happening.
And all things equal.
Yeah, I'm not sure I know how to answer that.
You got a badass over here.
Welcome to the Angles of Latitude.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Angles of Latitude podcast. This is a show where we talk with fellow creators about how they found their true groove in life by doing work that matters not only to them, but possibly the rest of the world. Every Thursday, we publish another conversation about the art and science of truly living a life of passion and how you, too, can do the work you're meant to do. Today's hosts are Trina Marty and myself, JC Preston. We're part of the crew at New Inceptions, a website dedicated in helping people do passion-filled work and, more importantly, giving them the resources and community to share it with others. We have a great guest on today who I've been watching rise pretty quickly from when I first met her back in March of 2015. She was a part of the first mastermind group that I was a part of when I first joined Fizzle. But after that group fell apart, she went on to do different things outside of Fizzle and apparently has been really successful. As of this recording, she has done fairly well with herself, including starting up her website development business and hosting a podcast that focuses on helping people take their passions and dreams and turning them into a lifestyle business. While that sounds very similar to what we do here at New Inceptions, she does this single-handedly as a young mom, which personally, I'm still working on that whole life-work balance thing myself. I mean, if I'm struggling with just having dog kids and having time with Maria, I can only imagine how, you know, Allie's life and other parents' lives might be as they try to start their own businesses. So that said, I thought it would be cool to have her on the show and to, frankly, illustrate to you guys that you don't have to have any certain kind of background to start your own business. In fact, you can be successful at it with kids. You don't have to pick either the business or kids. You can have both. So in today's chat with Allie, we discuss how she got into being a web developer, what has helped her succeed in life and working as a young mom, whether she sees herself as an independent thinker and how that possibly might have gotten her into trouble in the past, and how mom entrepreneurs can make a work-life balance work. So enjoy this conversation with Allie, and for the show notes, you can go to newinceptions.com/session16. And as always, if you have any questions or ideas for the show, you can let us know at heyguys@newinceptions.com. You know we're always looking for new ideas. And I'll be back after the conversation to fill in anything we might have missed. Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm so happy you can come on the show today with our good friend Allie McAdam from AllieMcAdam.com. Her podcast is called Passion and Business. And Allie, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming on today.
Thank you so much for having me. I've been super excited about this, especially because, you know, we've had to schedule an interview a couple of times, but we got it down. So it's a sign that this is supposed to happen.
Yeah. And I totally appreciate you, you know, taking the time to come on and actually just, as you were saying, just dealing with all the weird scheduling issues that we've been having. But
I get it. That's so is life, right? If we can't deal with the little things, then how are we supposed to get through the big things, right?
Right. So unlike last week's, we actually have Trin on this session as well. How you doing, Trin?
Hi, everybody.
Hey. Because last week, if you guys didn't catch that one, I was actually doing a solo, and that was a good talk. So if you haven't heard that one, I would definitely check that one out. But today we're talking with Allie and kind of going to be drilling into why she started her business, how she started her business, how she's had the opportunity to, all that kinds of stuff. And you know, one of the things that she says in her bio is that she's a self-taught web designer. And, you know, I guess that kind of leads into the first question that I would have is, I know that you are like a lot of, what is it? Jack of all trades, Jill of all trades. how did you get to be that way? And I mean, what specifically, do you know what you geek on by any chance?
What I geek on?
Tell us.
Yeah.
So by geek on, I'm assuming you mean what I just go crazy over and I find super interesting when no one else seems to.
Is that right? Correct. Yeah. Yeah. That's it.
I love to help other people, you know, be able to put their passions to the world and just take what they love and shout it from the rooftops. And I think that the thing that I geek on really is just obviously web design, because I love doing that. Mm-hmm. But really, if I go to your actual question, the thing that I geek on is podcasting. So,
all right,
I know that's separate from where I make my money and where my business is, but it's definitely the thing that I find my love in. So.
Cool. So why do you love it then, Allie? What's really fascinating to you?
No, great question. I love podcasting because, and here's the thing, great story. I have my family and obviously they're asking me, well, do you make a lot of money podcasting? Well, no. Well, does it take a lot of time? Well, yeah. Then why do you do it? And my reply to everyone that asks me that is, well, why do you watch TV? And of course they always say, well, because I like to. And I'm like, well, there you go. Because I love it. I like doing it. And, you know, one of the reasons why I love doing it is because I get to meet really interesting people. And I get it because obviously podcasters are people who like to talk, right? They're people who are very passionate and want to be able to share that passion with everybody else through audio. So I love meeting those people and networking and being able to build these relationships. And I just think it's so phenomenal and so cool that somebody right now is listening to us. Like, they're taking time out of their day to just sit and listen to our voices. And that's really powerful to me.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing that.
We're talking about you, listener. Yeah. Yeah, you.
That's a little creepy, but yeah.
So, all those reasons are really, really definitely important. So which came first, the business or the podcast?
Oh, good question. So first came the business, but I didn't know it yet. So if that makes sense. And the reason why I'm self-taught web designer is because I didn't go to school for this. And I didn't have somebody else that taught me the trade. What happened, and I love telling the story because it's totally whacked. And I was so embarrassed of it to begin with. But looking back on it, it's great. So when I started off, I found this guy and I didn't have a job because I am proudly unemployable, right? I do not like working for the man, right? I like working for myself. And I didn't have a job at the time because I kept on quitting them.
My wife says that we can get disability for that.
I know, right?
Yeah, it's so good. Proudly unemployable, and it's fine. I own it. And I found this guy who wanted to start up his business, and I knew just a little bit about WordPress and online marketing, just a little bit. I didn't really know how to use it, but I was like, hey, I can build you a website, and I can do this, and I can do that, and I can get you going. And I couldn't. I had no idea, right? But he said, okay, that's great. And we got started and I built him a site within 3 days because I wanted to make it work. I literally put life on hold and just sat down and learned it and figured it out via YouTube and Google. Thank goodness for those, right? And yeah, so I just sat down and I was really persistent and tenacious and I made sure that it happened. And from there on, I was able to go to other people. And because of course I did this for free. And I was able to go to other people and say, hey, look what I did. I can do this for you too. And that's kind of where it snowballed from there.
So
that's an awesome story.
Yeah. Yeah. And that kind of makes me have another question. You said that you knew this guy. Where do you normally find your clients?
Funny. Good question. And I know that a lot of people, that's one of the biggest things for them, especially freelancers, are like, how can I find more clients? And honestly, I just found him from... this will sound so silly, but just a chat room on a game that I was playing on my phone. And I know that sounds so ridiculous and out there, but it was. And I know that sounds so bad saying it out loud, but it's the truth. And we started talking and he was telling me about this incredible product that he could make, but he couldn't share it with the world. And so that's what I did for him. And the way that I find other clients, I have not had to truly market. I haven't created any ads or put any money into marketing myself. I've found other clients through word of mouth. So just by doing a really good job with the few that I have, then they, you know, put my name out there. And that would be my suggestion for those who are looking to grow their clientele or onboard new clients.
That's a really great tip. And, you know, you shouldn't be ashamed about the gaming thing. a lot of great things, personally, a lot of great things happened to me because I gamed.
Yeah,
like,
right?
I was one of those retro gamers. Like, I played games that nobody plays anymore. And I met my boyfriend through that.
No way.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
See, so secret to life is gaming.
Yeah.
Which I have no time to do because now I have a life, but yeah.
Exactly.
Let's just hope that Cam doesn't hear this one. But no, I think gaming, as far as doing it, as when you have a fix on what it is that you really love to do, and then you pick the time and it's not an addiction like things can be, I think it's totally, totally viable, something to do.
Right.
So, yeah, because I think a lot of people kind of struggle with, you know, there's going to be your work addicts and there's your gamer addicts and there's, you know, all those other vice addicts. And so it's, you know, it's something that, especially those that are familiar with MMORPGs. Yeah, we can see how people can go down that path, I think. So, but so generally speaking, I guess you would say that you're full time now.
Yeah, I went from working. I mean, at the time, obviously, I wasn't making any money, so I had to go get a job because, you know, there's this thing called bills I had to pay for. Plus, I'm a mom, so it all kind of just needed to be paid for somehow. So I went and got a couple of jobs, actually. And eventually, I just kept working on this on the side and built up a really good client that referred me to other people. And then, yeah, I was able to quit my jobs. And now I do this for full time, which is fantastic.
That is super awesome. How many clients a day or a month do you handle approximately?
So what I do is, it's usually not monthly because obviously certain projects, they differ and some kind of get extended. What I do is I only onboard 5 clients at a time and no more than that, so that I can give each one my individual, you know, enough of my time to make it work. And then once one clears up, I onboard another one.
Okay. So that I mean, and I think that's a good rule of thumb is to keep 5 on. One of our co-hosts, Brian, I think that's how many he has. Am I thinking right, Tren? You have any, remember how many he tends to have?
I think he has a little less than that, but he's like, he's earning pretty well on what he has. So
yeah,
he's doing pretty good. Yeah.
Okay. Well, in the past he had smaller accounts and I was thinking that maybe that was, anyway.
Yeah. Well, okay, so we were talking about just, you know, the problems with, you know, having different addictions. So I'm curious, Allie, what motivates you to succeed? Like, what got you going through all those tough times and having to do multiple jobs and, you know, just having to, like, you know, juggle, like a lot of things to make things work?
Right, yeah, awesome question. And obviously this will seem a little bit cliche, but definitely for a lot of parents it's the same answer. But mine was definitely my son. And especially because I had him so young, to me, I just had it engraved in my mind that I was going to make it, because I didn't want, you know, that stereotype to go on young moms, you know, that they struggle and they can't really get through it. And so I told myself I wasn't going to constantly put him in daycare and try working 3 jobs and just never spend the time with him. So I built up my own business and I'm still building it, but working it up to the point where I'm always home with him. And that was my motivation. And my definition of success to me, it's just being happy with where you're at, because the thing about success, it's just like goals. You set a goal, right? And you're constantly reaching for that goal. And then once you get it, a new one kind of takes its place. So you don't really enjoy the moment. You don't enjoy that. It's very short lived of actually enjoying that success. So my definition of it is just to be happy where you're at and with what you have.
What is your definition of happiness then, in your opinion?
Good question. That's when, you know, the days that my son's not crying. Just kidding. Just kidding. Whenever he doesn't have a tantrum is always a good day, right? So, yeah, terrible twos. They came early. No one tells you that. But my definition of happiness really is just to have enough financially for me to not have to worry about, you know, paying the bills, not have to worry about, hey, I want to go out and I want to buy my son a new toy. I can just do that. My definition of happiness is just when I'm surrounded with my family and I'm able to go through the day without having any regrets, which I don't believe in.
Those are great definitions, and I think we can definitely, you know, learn from that. Right, JC?
Oh, yeah. No, you know, and actually, that relates to one of our later questions, so hopefully she didn't spill the beans too much on that. But generally speaking, you're in the younger audience of millennials, right? You can be considered yourself a younger millennial.
Yes.
You know, what I've kind of struggled with, or not struggled with, but kind of in the first podcast that we did, John, Brian, and myself, we talked about differences between younger millennials and older millennials. And, you know, I was kind of interested in what your perception was, and maybe if you see a difference there, or, I mean, do you relate with the younger millennials, who some would say are kind of the future is, you know, we can build anything because the future hasn't been defined? Or do you relate more with the older millennials, who are like, man, we got robbed. We got, you know, it's like all these things that happened while we were in school or have disappeared, and now we have to figure out a solution.
Right. I think that from what you're getting at, I definitely resonate more with the younger, even though ironically I hang out more with the older, which is pretty funny. But I like the younger because I'm definitely have that mindset of, you know, you can make whatever you want, you can have whatever you want, and you can be whoever you want. You just have to take the time and the effort to actually go and get it. And I'm more than willing to go and get it and help others be able to get what they want as well. So I definitely resonate better with the younger generation.
Okay. Well, and, you know, I just, you know, to me, I was actually watching on the local news here that we have a space that is specifically for makers. And a maker is someone that makes things with their hands. So it can be, you know, some of the examples that they had there was book binding, or some different leather goods. And I think there was different sculptures and things like that. And then there was also an apparel. And then what they did is they had this space for free for them. And then it was, they actually had a retail store next door. And anybody that's listening from the Indy area, it's the actual store. I forget what the name of it is, but it's on Mass Ave. And I'll be sure to have the actual name of the store in the show notes. But anyway, the reason I bring that up is because I think that same crowd, at least when I was looking at kind of like, you know, who was in that store, or that, you know, the maker space, were definitely those younger millennials. And
that's interesting.
Yeah. It's just, it's so interesting to me how you really have this change of perception on, you know, someone that feels like they have to make a job for themselves versus someone that's like, oh, let's just do something. They're still more of a kid, I guess you can say. So
I find that the difference is interesting personally, because I never really thought of it in such a divided way. Perhaps also it's because of my age. Ali, I'm turning 29 on Monday, and
happy birthday.
Well, thank you. I always I because of my age, I straddle that fence. Like, yes, I graduated with the college generation that got robbed. And maybe it's my introverted nature, and I don't think about it that way, but like, yes, I did think about that, but I also thought, you know, I could do whatever I wanted. So I don't know. It's very fascinating. There's a divide, and I just feel like I straddle it. It's really interesting. So Allie, you're definitely like you definitely feel like you're in the younger millennial camp, which is a very cool. it's a good way to be. So.
Well, I understand what you're saying, that you're kind of on the border, and I liked what JC was saying, that, you know, the kind of the older part of this generation is basically saying, you know, we got what we got, and we got to, you know, take it for what it is, feel like we're a little bit robbed, or, you know, it's just how it is. We got to go through the
right.
society's way of being planned, which is go to school some more, graduate, and then try and figure out where you're at.
Kind of come and up then pay there. For all those bills.
Yeah. Unfortunately, a lot of us had to do that. I know people done that, unfortunately.
Yeah, but I think that some people need to maybe can take that perspective of, or that mindset or perspective of where we're at right now and where you want to be is completely doable. And you can make it however you want. I mean, I became a web designer from not knowing anything, obviously. And of course, I didn't go to school about it, so I can't say I have a degree in this, but I can say that I'm an expert simply because I know more than the great majority of people in any room that I go in, right? That's basic definition of expert. And because of that, I can make something out of myself. And I like the idea of being scrappy and being the underdog and being able to go in whichever direction you want to go without having to go through school and more school and more school and paying for all of that school. And
there's that great independence, right? There's independence in that.
Oh yeah. And it definitely gets me in trouble multiple times. It's gotten me in so much trouble. It definitely has its downfalls. And sometimes it's easier to go through that path that is already lined for you, just putting your footsteps into others that have already gone before you, because it's safer, right? Especially getting like a 9-to-5. It's a much more safer mindset and it's easier. But personally, I like the harder one and the one that's not as easy because it's just so much more fun. Being outside the comfort zone, it's scary, definitely. Like on a daily basis, I'm literally scared, but it's so much fun because I'm able to make whatever I want to make and be whoever I want to be.
And you're definitely an entrepreneur in that way, because an entrepreneur needs to have that mindset and it needs to learn how to rebound from mistakes. Tell us, like, I'm curious now, like when you're saying you got in so much trouble from that. I know personally that, I would start things and then I would like cause arguments between people. That's what I did in college when I tried to like start like a religious political group kind of. And like got me in trouble because like people disagreed with me, and especially like, you know, the administration and whatnot. Like that was one thing. For example, what got you into what do you have like a story you can share as an example of what got you in trouble because of your independent entrepreneurial instincts?
Well, yeah. First off, the very instant I turned 18 and graduated, I was gone. I was out of the house, and I thought that I could take on the world, and which obviously backfired a little bit because, you know, you get hit with utility bills and rent and, oh yeah, there's gas and you got to have a car to drive unless you take public transportation, and there's so many things. And then of course you have to eat. So there's food you have to pay for. And I got hit really hard with that realization of, wow, this is real life. This is real. This is reality. But yeah, that's one thing that independence really hit me hard with, is moving out right away. But I was able to learn a lot from it. And I personally don't feel like I get along well with people who are my age because they're doing exactly what you said. They're all in college, all the people I graduated with. They're in college. They're still trying to figure out who they are. And I am too, but I've been able to define that a little bit better because I've pushed myself and I've gone through those limits.
Wow.
Yeah, and I've gone through challenges that were so hard, like financial problems, going through a mom at being young. I was able to push through that, and because of it, and I know this is totally cheesy for some people, but because I got through those challenges, I'm a lot stronger and I'm able to take on a lot more than people who are still in college may not be able to take. And I know that it goes both ways. I can't do some things they can, and they can't do some things I can't. But I like who I am and where I'm at because of the experiences that I've put myself through.
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that. That's really awesome. Don't you think it's awesome, JC?
Well, I was actually kind of interested in how, you know, you're talking about all those struggles that you got through. Can you recall any of the actual specific idols or teachers or anybody that might have been a light that you could like be like, oh, if I just do what they kind of recommend. I can see myself getting out of all this crap that I'm going through.
Right. So I know that you're a huge fan, JC, of Pat Flynn. So, of course, I have to mention him because just like you, he is the reason why I started being an entrepreneur, because I started learning, you know, about online content creation and blogging and how you can create a passive income for yourself and live from work from home and all that jazz. So I loved Pat Flynn and what he taught. That was kind of my online inspiration, if you will. And then I have a mentor who is, he's like distant family, way distant family. I'm not even blood related to him in any way, but he's kind of become my mentor. When he saw the very first website that I built, this is an incredible story that I love telling. When he found the first website that I built, he was so inspired and he told me this. He said that he was really surprised about what I was able to build, which is pretty funny. He was, yeah. And he asked me, what do you need to do this more of? Because I feel like you could do more. You could keep doing this and really be able to build this up for yourself. And I told him, well, I mean, a MacBook wouldn't hurt. And I was totally joking. And he went and bought me one. He invested in me. And this guy, this is just one instance that he has just invested in me emotionally, financially, and just, you know, verbally. Kept me pushing forward, and he's someone that I definitely look up to. So, his mentor.
Yeah, and you know, mentors, as we're finding out, that's regardless of whatever your career path is, be it entrepreneurship or you know, being in a 9-to-5 or however you want to describe that world. I heard it earlier as a desk driver, but yeah, I think it's really important that you get that person that's been there and has done that, so that, you know, you don't have to go through the same landmines that they did. So, yeah, that's good that you have one of those, I think.
Oh, I feel like I have so many, whether they're direct or indirect, and whether I actually, you know, I'm able to converse with them on a daily basis. There's so many people that I look up to. Those are just a couple of instances. And I consider them mentors because I learn from them. And of course, I reference them whenever I tell people, you know, what I've learned or what I've been able to go through.
We've already kind of covered what has made you a successful entrepreneur. But generally speaking, what are some of the things that you're seeing right now in the people in your world of entrepreneurship? What are some of the things that you're seeing that are trending, as in, you know, just general, you know, technologies or, you know, personal branding or anything that might actually translate to, you know, just people trying to figure out their next step in their career, really?
Things that are trending as far as technology goes, we spoke a little bit before about Periscope, and I'm a personal fan of Blab. So live streaming definitely, I think, is going to go really well, mostly mm-hmm. because people can resonate with others and you can't really be fake. I mean, I guess you could if you're a really good actor, but you can't be that fake when it comes to video, especially live video. So I like that trend. Yeah. And then I think another thing that's really trending as far as concept goes is just being genuine. Being able to be genuine and tell your story seems to be something that's really trending right now, because when you are real and you actually are able to tell other people the struggles that you go through or whatever your story, who you are, if they resonate with you and you give them value, that seems to be something that really gives back. And it's something that I've noticed is really trending right now, is telling your story and just being real, just being genuine and giving as much value as you possibly can to others.
What do you think, speaking of that, in terms of that, where is the place of vulnerability in terms of connecting with your clients and, you know, being a business person? What's your point of view in that?
I think that it's really important to be transparent, and that kind of leads to, you know, being vulnerable and having that vulnerability with your clients. And I actually really like to... I try to be as open as I can with my clients, because I know that if they resonate with me more and the more bases that I touch with them, the more likely that they are to not only give me repeat business and referrals, but they're able to, you know, grow business with me later on, or they're able to grow relationships with me. So I personally feel like it's really important to try and be vulnerable, obviously not too vulnerable, because nowadays anything that goes online is there to stay and times, you know, 100. Yeah, so definitely not putting out too personal of things. But for instance, with you, I'm sharing, you know, these struggles that I've gone through. I've been on another person's podcast, and he was a therapist, and he wanted me to open up about, I have anxiety that not a lot of people know about. And that was so hard, right? But it was vulnerable. And because I did that, I've actually had quite a few people that have, you know, talked to me about it, and I've been able to grow these relationships. And my clients, whenever they tell me, sorry, I wasn't able to get back to you, I was going through this, this, or this, I try to, you know, talk to them more about it, or I ask them questions like, how can I help? What can I do? I totally understand that you're late on this. I will work through the weekend to make sure it gets done for you. And they really resonate with that. And it's able to grow that relationship. Yeah, and I'm not trying to show off or anything. I'm just saying, giving as much value as you can to the people you're working with will come back to you like times 10. You know what I mean? It will really, I'm not necessarily saying do it for a selfish reason, but if you give to others and they give to others and they give to others, generally it kind of makes for a better world, right?
Right, right. So you work on the weekend sometimes, I guess, right?
I try not to, but we all know that never happens. Even if I don't work for clients through the weekends, then I end up working on my podcast or creating blog post, or there's always something.
Oh yeah, me too. I totally understand that. But you know, specifically speaking of, you know, keep in mind you're a mom. We've got your two year old son. You know, moms in general always struggle with balance, and if you're an entrepreneur, like the problems of balance like triple, right? And so you must have an opinion on this. Like, what's your opinion on how can mom entrepreneurs balance between family and business?
So important.
What's your solution?
I love that you bring this up, because work-life balance is, to me, the hardest thing in the world, right? Right next to being able to, you know, have a break to just go to the bathroom or eat or sleep, for that instance. But the way that I create balance with work and life as being a mom and an entrepreneur is, first, I schedule my family. I schedule time with my son, and I schedule, you know, obviously our meals and time out with him, going to the park, schedule family first, because that to me is my first priority. And then I allow everything else to kind of just go in between that. And sometimes that means staying up till 3 a.m. working. Actually, often.
Wow.
Often it means staying up till 3 a.m. working, right? But, and I'm young, so I guess I can get away with that, right? But
no, that just sounds like the Pat Fun model again.
Yeah, but he switched it to the mornings now, right? So I don't know. Yeah. Maybe I'll switch that up later on. But, and sometimes I do that. Sometimes I'll wake up at 4 a.m. just so that I can be there when he wakes up, and I can really be there both physically and mentally, because I know that I was able to finish up everything else that I needed to, or I can finish it later. So that's what I do for my work-life balance. And of course, it's not perfect by any means, but by scheduling my priorities first and allowing everything else to just fall into the cracks and in between those items, it allows me to, you know, put what's more important first.
I feel that we're doing that visualization of the jar with the rocks and the sand. Is that what you're going for, your metaphor?
Yeah. So you've got to put in the larger objects first for everything else to fit in.
For sure.
Good analogy.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that we were talking about earlier was, again, Periscope I keep on typing in Blab. What is it called?
Blab. You can find it. The URL is...
No, it is called Blab. Okay, yeah, well, maybe
Blab.
I keep on typing
it. I am. So it's not .com. It's a .im.
Well, then must be Blam that I keep typing in. Anyway, I can never find it. And I'm like always wanting to like look at it. And it's like, I type it into Google and they're like, you mean blah? No, I don't mean blah. Okay, so Blab. You know, one of the things that I've been kind of curious about that is, you know, how do you see people using it versus like other ways to, I don't want to say telecommute, but just generally how is it setting a trend that's different than, I don't know, say hangouts or maybe because hangouts you can have up to like 2,500 people or something like that. And then how do you see it even different than like GoToMeeting, which obviously you got to pay for, but has a lot of different, you know, things in the back end that kind of make it worth that cost.
Yeah. So one reason why I really love Blab is because it's just like Google Hangouts, except for it's always live. You know how Google Hangouts, you can get on, have maybe your mastermind group on or have conferences on and it's just you. Blab is live and it makes it, it shows that vulnerability and gives that more transparency to your conversation because it goes out to everyone else. And another reason why I really love Blab is because people can just be having their meetings or just get on and just have a conversation and have obviously everyone else that's watching be in the chat room and join in. But on top of that, you, if there's an open seat, of course, because you can have up to 4 seats filled on Blab, I love just getting on and just jumping on to random conversations. So if they're talking about a topic that I know a lot about or I want to learn a lot about or I think that I could add value to the conversation, I'll jump on, whether that's, you know, marketing or websites or just business in general. And I love it because, one, I can grow the relationships with all those people who are part of that Blab already, but I'm getting coverage and being able to market myself to all those who are watching it. So mm-hmm. I love the vulnerability and I love just the marketing side of it. And I think that it's really trending right now because it's kind of, they are constantly updating, Blab is, just like Periscope. They're constantly upgrading, constantly trying to make it better for the user. And that's something that I think that Google Hangouts kind of stopped. They kind of lost track of taking care of what they needed to for the users and kept on, you know, upgrading. And yeah, I mean, even Twitter is doing little things like that where they changed the little, you know, like button to a heart. And it's so simple, so simple. But they're changing the usability so that they're evolving and they are adapting to what people like, what people want, and what people need. And I think that Google Hangouts kind of dropped that aspect where Blab is really shining through on.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Twitter, I'm not struggling with it. I can see why people use it. I can see how people use it. And I can, you know, after actually going over, Ryan Roten actually just released a how to guide of all the different tricks you can use to use Twitter to, enhance your brand. He just put that out and I understand conceptually everything there is to it. But when I get on there, when I see things that are on there, some of the biggest marketers are constantly just using it as, how do I say, like a backfeed of all the other social medias that they use. Huh. And, you know, it seems that as much people, as often as, and as much as people talk about it, it seems that it's full of noise, for one, and two, the type of people that you might get on there are not necessarily those that might be interested in your niche. And then it just kind of causes noise, more noise. So what's your take on Twitter and what has it become since you first started using it and all that stuff?
It's definitely a place for blow up self promotion. Am I right?
Yeah.
So personally, what I do for my brand, and my online presence, I am on Twitter, but I'm kind of like where you're at. I don't necessarily use it in my marketing strategy or really to grow a really big presence. I just make sure that I'm there because I know that there are some people who do need to reach me through Twitter. And I also am there because I use Periscope and, you know, obviously that's connected because Twitter owns Periscope. Right. But I'm on it, but I'm like you. The only time I really engage on it is if somebody wants to contact me through that form. Now, of course, there's a billion and one ways for people to contact me. So it's kind of silly to only use Twitter for that and to use Twitter to kind of use, like you said, your back end where you just send all of your feeds to just to promote everything else.
Right.
But I know that there are a lot of people that find value in it and are on there quite often. So I do use it and I make sure that I have my presence there, but it's not my cup of tea. And my note to that is that when you own your own business or when you want to create your own personal brand or whatever it is you're trying to do online, pick the platform, because there are many to choose from, pick the one that has the signature you want to sign. So it basically has the, it's the difference. It's the thing that you like to spend time on, and it's where your audience is. My audience is not there. I don't spend a lot of time there. I personally like Instagram, obviously Facebook, and then obviously the live streaming like Blab and Periscope. But I'm not really on Pinterest much, and Twitter, because they're not where my audience is and it's not where I can really shine. Each platform has its own signature, and you have to figure out which one is going to really shape best for your business. And Twitter, unfortunately, is not a big one for me. So I kind of agree on your aspect.
Okay. That said, and I appreciate that, Instagram, how is it different than Twitter? Because it seems to me that with Twitter, now that it has pictures and, you know, short clips, you know, like Vine clips and things like that, do they have a difference between the two of them?
That's a good point. And I think that the difference is kind of just the atmosphere. They both have, to me anyway, and I'm sure quite a few people feel the same, they have different atmospheres. They have different feels to them. And I'm sure you understand that too, how each social media kind of just feels completely different. You get right. different things from it. Like on right. Facebook, you want a story. You want to hear about people's backgrounds. You want to hear their stories that they have to tell. Instagram, I love the visual sense of it. I am still kind of just getting started on it, just building my following there. But I love that it's visual. And I like that. And you're right. You can post videos now and pictures on Twitter. But it kind of goes back to what you said before. Twitter has a lot of noise on it, whereas Instagram does not. And although they are starting off with ads, they're still kind of new with that app, with that sense. And so the feeds that you get are pretty clean. They're purely, more often than not, just the people you follow, only what you want to see. And it's really nice. I love that it's really picture first and image first. I love the visual aspect of it, obviously, because I'm a web designer. I like the layout and that it's really beautiful and really user interface. And there's not as much noise, like you said.
All right.
That's a really interesting point of view with signatures and media. That's something that we really need to look into. When it comes to internet marketing, do you have any book recommendations for our listeners to hook their hands on?
When it comes to marketing, you mean?
Yeah, internet marketing.
Yeah. One thing that I've read recently is called Ask. And I'm not sure if you've read it. I can't seem to recall the... I'm trying to look for the book. It's on my desk.
Ryan Levesque.
Thank you, JC. I believe it's Ryan Levesque. Yeah, I've read the book Ask, and I love it, especially because it's really around email marketing, which we all know, or we should know, that it's a really big deal when it comes to online business. And I think that that would be a great book recommendation for those of you to read.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
And generally speaking, do you listen or do you actually old school read books?
Okay. So my friends make fun of me for this because obviously you can buy, you know, Kindle versions or audiobooks. I am old school and I love to have the physical book. I know I'm totally, this is one thing that I geek out on. I love to just have the physical book. I like to, you know, fill the pages and be able to go through it how, you know, physically how I want to and be able to just let it sit on my desk and gain dust. It's a fantastic way to have your knowledge.
Okay. And see, again, going back to what we were talking about earlier, and that's part of the reason I asked that question is that, and I think I just posted about this, or at least I was just talking about it, is that the fact that so many people today think that the only valid education is formal education. And what you just said right there is a sign of self-education being almost better than formal education, because you actually are getting this knowledge that you're seeking out yourself and applying it, as opposed to going, you know, to school and being taught stuff that you're not even paying attention to.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, as I said before, I learned what I know through YouTube. I watched YouTube videos or I Googled it and I read blog posts and it took a lot of time, but I was able to learn what I wanted to and what I needed to when I needed to learn it, right? I don't need to go through many geometry lessons notes or history lessons and learning, you know, things that I might not use later on, so I might forget, just like you were saying. I love the self-learned approach to knowledge.
So really, there's no, you know, there was a stigma when I was growing up that self-help, it almost has a stigma that it's just bad. Like, if someone that needs self-help is like either has issues that they've needed to talk to a psychologist or something about, or, you know, just,
it's what are just, you trying to say about me, JC?
No, I'm not saying anything about you. I'm just saying that what it is that, again, being a younger millennial or just a millennial in general, that we're open to that thinking.
We're open to reading and learning in that way,
right,
and helping ourselves.
And it's not so much of a stigma as much as it used to be. Because, again, it's those that are in that formal education world versus the people that will look back and talk about the Andrew Carnegies, the Jim Rohns, the, you know, the, all those big names that you would hear about, the Dale Nightingale, right? Earl Nightingale. That's another name I just got. I actually just published Jim Vaughn's, Jim Vaughn's interview, and, really good talk. And so when this actual interview gets out, go back, go check out number 9 that was posted, and I think you'll get a lot out of that. So anyway,
definitely, I love the concept that you're going over, because way back when, which really wasn't that long ago, the word entrepreneur left a bad taste in people's mouths, and now it's the cool thing to do. It's you're part of the cool kids if you say, oh yeah, I own my own business and I'm an entrepreneur. Whereas back then, it was definitely different than what it is now.
And it wasn't that long ago. I remember those times. Like,
I do too.
Yeah. My mom, like, you made me feel bad for, like, wanting to start things. So, okay, so here's a fun question. Speaking of, like, vulnerability and giving a nod to vulnerability, here's a fun question for you. So I hear you love tattoos. I am planning to get my own tattoo when I turn 30. So what's your favorite kind and why do you like them so much? What do you recommend?
For tattoos?
Yeah.
See, that's so funny. I know where you read that from. That's really great. So I think that you should get whatever tattoo is going to portray your personality the best. So there's no right and wrong. It's just, and it doesn't even matter if everyone else thinks that it's really quirky or really weird or dark or whatever you prefer. I think you should pick what fits your personality the best and then just shite it. Just let it go.
I'm excited.
That's great. I'm excited for you.
I'll probably post one if I finally do it. So, and you know, I have a year and a half to think about it. So
excited. Can't wait.
I hope that you do yours too someday.
I know. I'm kind of a wuss when it comes to pain. I'm not going to lie, but I love them. I think that they're really great. And I think it's a cool way to express yourself.
They say that at first it does feel painful, but once you get through the pain, it actually starts to feel pretty good.
I think it's so funny that we went from talking about entrepreneurship to tattoos. That's so beautiful. I love it.
We're having fun here. So, right, JC?
Yep. Definitely. So we're actually kind of getting close to the end of the show here. And as we do that, we tend to have 3 rapid fire questions. We at least try to. Sometimes it happens most of the time. Sometimes it doesn't happen. Most of the times it does. And I think Trent's going to start this one off.
3 rapid fire questions. You ready, Ellie?
Oh, I'm so ready. My heart's pumping. I'm ready to go.
All right. So, first question is, 3 things you want people to remember you by. What are the 3 things you want people to remember you by, Ellie? Oh,
3 things I want to be remembered by is my humility, which sometimes I need to be grounded for sometimes, but my humility, my gratitude for life, and the fact that I don't believe in regrets. Whatever happens, happens, and it shapes who you are.
Oh, that's beautiful. Your turn, JC.
Yeah. And the next question would be, and this is a little bit of a change of what our pal Lewis Howe says, but what does success mean to you? How do you define that?
We talked about it a little bit, but my definition of success is to be happy, and that's to be happy with where I'm at today, where I'm at tomorrow, who I am, and who I'm going to be. My definition of success is not to look for what is at the end of my goal or what's at the end of the line, but enjoying my each step to getting to that point.
That's beautiful. All right, so I got the last question. And I want to say, Allie, thank you so much for joining us. It has been so much fun. And, like, it, you know, I love these conversations where we can touch on, like touch on everything and be totally cool with it. You know what I mean?
Definitely touched on everything, a little bit of everything today. And thank you so much for having me. I genuinely
enjoyed sure. that. Yeah, yeah. So, okay, so last question of the day for you know, so we can leave our listeners with something. So what is a way that a listener can take action if they were going to follow you, if they were going to follow you and your path of success? What would you recommend that they start with?
I would say to start with taking a day off, and I know this is totally out of the norm, but actually take a day off and figure out who you want to be. And that's not who you want to become, like someone else. You want to have someone else's life. The grass is always greener on the other side. It's how do you want to be a better you? And that's what I strive for every single day, is being a better me and not being somebody else. So my action for you is just to take a day off, sit down, and maybe think about your goals. I'm a huge goal lover. And figure out where you want to be, big picture, and then just start figuring out how you're going to get it, regardless of what other people think, what other people say, or what even the doubts that might be going on in your head, because more often than not, those are wrong.
Oh my God, that's awesome. Thank you so cool. much, Allie.
Cool. All right, Allie. So again, where can people find you if they want to connect with you?
So my number one place is my website, alliemcadam.com, but I would absolutely love it if you join me on my podcast, Passion in Business, where I am the non-refundable host.
Woo! Non-refundable host. I like that. Alrighty. Well, this has been Allie McAdam, and have a good one.
Have a good one, everybody.
I hope you enjoyed that interview with Allie. Again, you can get in touch with her by visiting alliemcadam.com. That's spelled Alliemcadam. Again, that'll be on the show notes, so I'll just link it there, and you'll be able to find those on newinceptions.com/session16. As always, if you'd like to subscribe for free to this podcast, you can do so on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. Instructions, as usual, are right on the show notes as well. Again, that is session 16, newinceptions.com/session16. In this week's show note extras, I have some extra content that I think really fits well with this particular talk. Like Allie, many parents find themselves starting businesses out of necessity. Others start a business to further support families they already have when their job just isn't cutting it. Either way, you should make your kids your reason of building a business, not your excuse for not building one. I have four resources that I want to share with you guys today. They're all resources for helping to build an entrepreneurial family. One is called Founding Moms by Jill Salzman. You might recognize her from her TED Talk and why Moms Make the Best Entrepreneurs. Founding Moms is a collective of offline meetups and online resources where mom entrepreneurs can exchange, connect, and learn from one another. Not to be outdone by moms, the next resource, Startup Dad HQ, hosted by Joel Lewis. It is a great resource for dads who want to or have started a business. Started in 2014, Joel says that he wants to use Startup Dad HQ to help dads be fully engaged in every aspect of their children's life, and at the same time, pursue their dreams of building a business that will not only afford them the lifestyle that they want for their family, but also leave a mark on this world and a legacy behind. Next on the list is treplifedad.com, and that starts with T-R-E-P, lifedad.com. It was started by James Oliver Jr., who you might have seen on the Today Show or HDTV talking about his business, We Montage. James says that the point of Trep Life Dad is to share the joys and pains of running a tech startup and raising a family. I think this adds a little
change of perspective from the lifestyle businesses out there, including the startup dad HQ. So maybe, you know, one might be better for you than the other. Finally on the list, we have a TED Talk recording of Cameron Harold. This one in particular hits home for me. The talk is about teaching kids to be entrepreneurs because, as he mentions, we have to prepare them to be successful in an ever-changing world. A world, you know, frankly, where if they learn about the difficulties of world early on, they won't be so damn surprised later when they're finally done with school. In fact, personally, I wish sometimes that I had to hustle a little bit when I was younger. When I came out of school, I simply was ill-prepared to be an entrepreneur. So, you know, frankly, I think Cameron is right on when it comes to helping kids be prepared to be awesome as adults. In fact, I might just use this video to help me develop curriculum for my kids in the future. So going on to today's sponsors, so we got Audible.com and Fizzle.co. As you know, leaders are readers, but sometimes we just don't have the time to read every book that we want, especially if you are a parent, right? Life can get really hectic. So for that very reason, I've made my car, and when I do yard work, the two places I listen to podcasts and listen to books. If you want to be an Audible bookworm like me, you can try Audible out for free for 30 days and get a free audiobook download by going to audibletrial.com/newinceptions. Again, that's audibletrial.com/newinceptions to get your Audible membership for free for 30 days and your free audiobook download. And of course, there's fizzle.co if you want to do great work and make an impact on others with online business. Again, this is your place. As one of the founders, Chase Reeves, says, it's honest training and a genuine community for lifestyle business builders. You can learn what you need to just in time instead of constantly consuming content from across the web. Regularly, it costs $35 a month, but as a listener, you can go to newinceptions.com/fizzle and get your first month free. Again, that's newinceptions.com/fizzle. Thank you all for listening in again today. We really appreciate it. Next week, Brian and I have a conversation with Frank Forte. Frank is a pretty interesting guy. For a while, he's been a mentor of mine, and I thought it'd be great to share some of his wisdom with you guys. His background is in consulting, and Brian and I attempt to extract some nuggets out of his 30 years of experience working with big-name organizations and companies. If you're thinking about being a consultant or a freelancer of any kind, I think Frank's talk will help you get a perspective on how to leverage your skills and how you might be able to get potential clients. To make it easier on yourself when that episode comes out, or you know, future episodes, be sure to subscribe to the show. Remember, you can do that through the show notes. Again, that's newinception.com/session16. And if you subscribe through iTunes, we'd love it if you give us a review. It means a lot, and will help future listeners find the show. So we thank you in advance for that. Also, while you're at the show notes, leave a comment or ask Allie anything you want to know about her life as a young mom entrepreneur. Also, be sure to add yourself to the ever-growing New Inceptions Masterminder at newinceptions.com/Facebook Masterminder. I'm currently looking right now to fill some spots on our live mastermind call, so check that group out if you want to be considered. So that's it. Thanks again for listening, and look forward to serving you in the next episode. Make it a great week and start 2016 off right, guys. See ya.
Thanks for listening to the Angles of Latitude podcast. Connect with us at home, at work, or on the go at facebook.com/newinceptions, on Twitter @newinceptions, or on the web at newinceptions.com.